Welcome to the Wine Vault. On tonight's episode, Rob and Scott review a wine from Rayburn once again, but this time, their Sonoma County Cabernet Sauvignon. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's Wine Vault. Welcome, everybody, to the Wine Vault. It is I, Rob the Wine Guy, and tonight, I'm joined by Scott, the licensed taxi driver.
It's good to be here, Rob. How are you tonight?
I am doing adequate.
Well, that's, adequate. You're an expert on being adequate.
Oh, no, I'm exceptional in that regard.
No, just adequate. No better, not above average, just adequate.
You know, Scott, speaking of above average, this is Wilfred Wong. I have some more jokes for you.
Oh, Jesus.
I want to tell you a good one. It's a good one now.
This is a good one.
This is a good one. Yeah. Scott, what's the difference between anal and oral sex?
Wilfred, tell me, what's the difference between anal and oral sex?
Oral sex makes your day. Anal makes your whole week. Or a whole week. Depends on how you say it.
You know it's Pride Month, right? That's an inappropriate
talking about a man and a woman. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
That's right. Well, Scott, here's the other thing. What's the best part about sex with 28-year-olds?
I don't know what's the best part of sex with 28-year-olds.
There are 20 of them. Yeah. Oh, ho, 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 ho. Oh, Rob the Wine Guy almost didn't let me read that joke.
But... he shouldn't have. What the fuck is wrong with you?
I didn't write the joke. I read it. Still.
Anyway.
Bad choices. The fuck is wrong with you?
At least it's finally a dirty joke that's bad. You know? That's pretty bad. Wilford also left you a voicemail message. Maybe you heard that. But...
did he?
Yeah. Did you check your...
is your... right.
She texts your texts.
Oh, it was a text.
Yeah, this was a voice text. He loves to do that. Regardless, folks, on tonight's show, we have another wine from Rayburn. We have done their Chardonnay. We've done their Pinot Noir. And tonight we're doing their Cabernet. I originally thought there were only three wines, but they've added a fourth. But who gives a fuck because it's rosé.
Oh, you love rosé. It's your favorite.
No. A little refresher, folks. Rayburn is a part of Purple Brands, and so often these wines are under portfolios. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's some sort of weirdo-sourced wine. We know that there's a winery there, and they do some shit. But within Purple Brands, if you've ever seen the wine, Avalon, I think most of you have, they're in Purple Brands. Bex, who the fuck knows what Bex is? But then, I believe, if I'm right, Four Vines... Four Vines is a pretty common label. They're not in grocery stores, but Zen, things of that nature. We just did, what winery did we do where the founder of Four Vines is like in their group? What the hell was that winery? Think about that, Scott.
Or are we talking about the group?
He's associated like of council. He's just like there. He gets paid. I don't know what the hell that wine was. We made fun of it though plenty. And also Scattered Peaks, if you've wondered what the hell that is, that's an expensive wine that's in there. Lucky Star, and then Rayburn. Those are all purple brands.
Purple brands.
It was founded in 2001, in case you wondered. What the hell was that winery? Now it's going to freak me out. I don't remember, and I'm not sure why I don't remember, but it's okay. This wine specifically, though, is 12 months on French oak, so that's always good. And it's 81% Cabernet. 9.5% Petit Verdot, and 9.5% Syrah.
Blackstone. It was Blackstone.
No, it wasn't Black. We didn't have Blackstone on the damn show.
Oh, that's too...
Blackstone.
Four Vines.
Do you remember... No, not the bought Four Vines. That the founder of Four
Christian
Vines.
Christian Tiye.
Oh. But he works for somebody now. We had that wine on the show.
Oh, Derek. No, Derek Benham owns Purple Wine. That's Chris. The Four Vines was launched in 1994 by Christian Tiye. I don't know how you pronounce that. That's.
I'm looking back. No, not that one. No. M by Mac and Billy. It was M by Mac and Billy. It was Billy. I think Billy is part of Four Vines.
Okay.
There we go. I remember now.
Yeah, that's
that Paso cab that was fine. It's strange enough. But here's another cab from no winery that's associated with Mac and whatever it is. But Sonoma County is a great place for Cabernet. We've enjoyed that much. Rayburn, though, this one comes in, and you'll see it like in 26, 27. Right now, it's for 1989. Which is a good price. I mean, if it's a good wine, a good price, it's right at Louis Martini money. And that's the standard right there for...
Yeah, and Louis Martini, year in, year out, quality. It is kind of our standard for Sonoma.
Yeah. Now, do we buy Louis Martini all the time? No. But that's okay.
We buy it. I buy it.
I know you buy it more than I do.
I think I have a bottle right now.
I have zero bottles right now. But that's okay. I don't have to drink it, but I know what it tastes like, and I know it's solid. Exactly. I know it doesn't get me excited, but it's okay. What? Solid wine. So is this solid wine, or is it solid shit? I don't know. What is it?
It's going to be solid wine.
Is it one of my jokes? I don't know about that.
Yeah, no.
Currently, I'm under indictment for that last
one. You should be.
I was a little rough, but you know.
You're a bad man.
Yes.
Bad person.
That's true.
I know, Scott, you know. At least it wasn't.
At least I didn't ask about 35-year-olds.
Jeez.
Or 96-year-olds. You can do that with any number, pretty much, folks. Just, you know, 31-year-olds. Now, don't do that.
I think they get it.
No.
I think they get it.
I didn't know what it means, Scott. The joke. Never mind. Nevertheless, folks. We have the Rayburn Sonoma County Cabernet on the show tonight, and we will get into this wine as soon as we get back here on the Wine Vault. Hey everybody, it's Rob the Wine Guy. Do you love the Wine Vault? Do you want the world to know about the Wine Vault? Well, do you know the best way to do that? By giving us a review wherever you get your podcasts. Whether that be on iTunes or Stitcher or TuneIn or Spreaker or Podbean or some other app I've never heard of but probably gave your phone a virus when you downloaded it. So take that time. Give us that review. Give us your thoughts and feedback. That way, everyone will know to listen to, enjoy, and join us on the Wine Vault. And we'll be right back. And we're back, folks. So, off the air, Scott was admonishing Wilford, and Wilford would like to respond to that.
Yes, that's right. Scott informs me that I made a pedophile joke, and I didn't know what the joke meant, really. But Scott did write it, so he would like me to apologize for him for making that joke. He said it was a joke, and joke was in parentheses. What's that supposed to mean, Scott? You said joke can also be a confessional? It's okay. Well, just... Nevertheless, I am sorry for those that I offended by Scott's joke about pedophiles. You know? And he said never mind. It's okay. Now. No, Scott, I don't want to go with you to Thailand. Enough of that. We're not going to Thailand. I don't care how cheap lobster is there. I won't go. No. Probably because I'm not allowed in
I was going to say, it's probably one of the countries you're not allowed to travel to.
And yes, you should learn from that, Scott.
Isn't your passport still being held by that certain foreign government?
Guatemala.
Yeah.
Oh. I've had several. I made copies of them. I use Xerox copies. It didn't work out too well, but I...
Yeah.
Well, now in Guatemala, they didn't know any better.
Well...
They speak Mexican or something. I don't know what they speak.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, that's offensive. They don't now speak that.
Oh, Lord.
Maybe I was in Mexico. I don't know that how I where I was.
Exhaling. Not unusual.
Exhaling is very important, folks. Try to do that.
I'm really...
It helps.
Yes. So, the Rayburn Cabernet.
Breathe out.
That's right. Meditate.
Breathe in, breathe out. What's the first thing we did on the show of Rayburn was the Chardonnay.
Chardonnay. Chardonnay. It's
Chardonnay,
lovely.
Chardonnay.
Then not too long ago, a few weeks ago, we did their Russian River Pinot Noir. And it was really nice, too.
Yeah.
It was a good wine. Actually, it was a wonderful mouthfeel. It was really what you want. Not overly heavy. Not overly fruity. It was just right.
It was Pinot.
It was Goldilocks is what it was.
Gold.
Yeah. It was like the three bears. Like one was just too warm, one was too hot, one was just right, that kind of thing. You know?
I was a little fearful of where you were going to go with the Goldilocks reference.
If it was Wilfred's voice, then you'd know where
it was going. Well, we know.
Oh!
We know whose voice is yours.
Yes.
Just one of them is Wilfred, and mm-hmm. you made a Goldilocks reference, and... We were waiting.
We
for
moved
the
on.
Bomb to drop. Yay!
Now wait a second. Now,
no. It though say often Russian rivers can be a little bit too much. Rodney Strong's Russian River, for instance, in that same price range for 20-ish, it's okay, but it's a little bit heavy. So is like the Chalk Hill and the Sonoma Coast stuff. All that kind of stuff can be a little bit heavy. Alawan. Anything in the $20 range, it can be a bit heavy. Now, you could go French and go to like the Louis Jadot, but then it's going to be a little bit too mushroomy and feety for you. So, in that realm, Rayburn kind of slides in there without any feet. It doesn't taste like feet.
Oh, yeah.
Good raspberry fruit, you know, where nothing is overly heavy and it's just a good Pinot.
Yeah.
You know, no off-putting flavors. Perhaps it doesn't challenge you, but that's okay. That's okay.
Well, you know, when you're adequate as you, then you don't need a challenge.
You keep bringing adequate up, Scott. If you'd like me to read more jokes, I can do that.
Oh, Lord.
That you wrote, by the way.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure.
I didn't even talk about the 42-year-olds. I don't want to talk about that. That's terrible, Scott.
You are terrible, Wilfred.
Anyway. So, by the way, there are two reviews, but I could not find the actual written word of them. 92 from the tasting panel.
Yeah.
Yes. And a 90 from the enthusiast. So, as you can understand, I mean, I could have looked up the enthusiast, but then you had to put in an email, and they'd send you a... I don't want to read that, because it would be like Jim Gordon in Gotham, and, you know, he's in there putting up the bat signal and drinking wine while he's doing that, not really paying attention, so... Is it a 90? That's not a real strong score from the enthusiast.
It's not really.
And tasting panel has no strong scores. They're all weak scores.
Well, they're just so weird. Speaking of, aren't they? They're tasting panels from Thailand, aren't they? Aren't the tasting panel based in Thailand? Isn't that correct? Somewhere in Southeast Asia?
No, but you have an LLC based in Thailand for some strange reason. For travel purposes, you said it's a shell company. What are you traveling? What do you do from that? It's called Human Acquisitions, and I think that's a little strange, Scott. You run shipping out of there and boats, like boats to haul people, you said. I don't know what that is.
Som Journal.
I think that...
Tasting Panel Magazine in the Somme Journal, Wilfred.
Yes, I think Scott sells people is what he said. Yeah. Undesirables, that's what you said.
You're an expert on that.
And I said, hobos? And you said, sure, why not a hobo? But those are in short supply. You have to go back to the 50s to find a hobo. I said, transients? And you said, you mean homeless people? I said, no. Now, guys with sticks and bags on them. And you said, that's a hobo. And I went, oh, never mind. I don't know.
Yes.
Human trafficking. Scott's big into that, he said. Let's not talk about all the federal crimes. Some are international crimes, Scott. You're pretty impressive in that regard.
Well,
you know.
Anyway. forget about Scott's human trafficking issues. In the glass. Oh, by the way, winemaker's notes. Expressive Cabernet with juicy fruit notes, fine tannin, and a muscular mid-palate. Layered flavors of plum, dark cherry, and vanilla. Expect a long and balanced finish. Wolford could have written that, actually.
Well,
I mean, it would have spelling errors, but he could have written it. Yeah. In the glass, though, it does look like Cabernet. Crimson. A little bit of translucence, but not too bad. And the nose is not good. There is a little bit of cherry cordial and currant. And a slight bit of yeastiness that's there. It's not a good nose.
Current. The yeastiness is the what makes it not a good nose, and that's just subdued. Yeah. How long has this been decanting?
What time is it? About an hour.
Yeah.
Maybe a little more than that.
I wonder if it's all blown away and if this wine's going to not blow us away because, well, it's not going to blow us away because it's been possibly over decanted.
For an hour? Well. A Sonoma Cabernet should not have fall apart.
I know. That's why this nose is concerning me.
It shouldn't fall apart in an hour. Yeah. By the way, this is the inaugural release, 2021, of the Cabernet.
So gotcha. I'm not finding it in the enthusiast.
Well, that's because they lied.
They are liars. Lies are lies!
Yeah, but Wine Business in the news, they did reveal this is the first vintage of it. So,
and it did say the same on the Rayburn website.
Mm-hmm.
Does this make me a little fearful? The fact that this nose is so yeast laden in that's the only thing you can pick up in this really subtle nose? My answer to you is yes. My answer to me is yes. All of you is yes, if you're asking the same question.
If you want to know, folks, it smells kind of like a cruddy Paso cab. Red fruit. Here we go.
It smells like not a Paso cab, just a So cab. Just So. Paso.
I just drank it. I'm not going to die.
Yet. We've got a whole bottle to get through. Don't. Press your luck.
Well, let Sky drink it. First thing I'm going to say is, in the mid-palate, it has a very grippy woodiness that I originally thought was a metallic edge, but it's not. It's the woodiness. It's really interesting in that regard. The mouthfeel is good. It's a bigger medium-bodied. It's fairly plush.
Yep.
It has red fruit, savory, all savory. There's no blackberry. There is a little bit of plumminess to it.
Yeah, particularly
plumminess. The plumminess comes through the mouthfeel too.
Yeah, that lushness is the first impression when it hits your palate. It's just you know it's gonna have some nice texture to it. You know it's gonna have a decent mouthfeel. It just felt. Inviting.
Scott was wrong.
That's a nice $20 cab. It's not going to necessarily, you know, it's not like Gunlock Bunch's Mountain Cuvée or the Edge or one of those things. Those are a different breed, but it's really a nice drink at that price. It's right there with the Loose Martini.
It's a little different stylistically for a Sonoma. It's not as...
Well, because of the oaking.
Well, not, but for me, not just that. There's also this... Like, if I was going to use a term to describe Sonoma cabs. I might say slender in the overall Cabernet style of California. This is different than that classic Sonoma. This is different than the martini in that this plush mouthfeel, it gives it a sense of weightiness. It's on the higher end of medium body, but still it feels denser than it is.
What I would say is the oak is prominent from the get-go. Where in a lot of the Sonomas that we've drank in this price range, that's just more on the finish. So if you take out that oak, I think you might see something that's a little more similar to what we're accustomed to. But here, you know, right when you hit it, when you bring that in, sorry, you're getting that plushness, you're getting that plummy fruit, and you're getting that oak. And the oak carries through. It's a nice oak. I enjoy it. There might have been a time in my life when I wouldn't have, but I do now. But that, I think, is the big difference. It frames it in a different way.
And that is stylistically a big component, and that probably is where that mouthfeel comes from. Mm-hmm. But I also think it's significantly more savory than traditional Sonoma style cab. I like it. I like the savory nature of it. It's not the most savory cab you're ever going to have. Just perspective, one Sonoma to another Sonoma, this one's a little more of a savory element.
The fruit profile, though, is more Paso than it is Sonoma.
Yes, 100%. Very, very Paso-like.
If you like Paso cabs, you definitely want to try this one because it's not Paso, but it has a lot of that plummy fruit up front, those prominent red fruits, where the Pasos normally have something like that.
And you put that Paso chocolate in here with that fruit, and you'd say this is a Paso cab. Mm-hmm. Wonder why we don't see that chocolate expression here.
Because it's not Paso?
Yes. But still, with this plum profile, this oaking, you almost expect it to be there. It's like you want it to be there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you do, because we're accustomed to, we've drank more and more Pasos. We're still not necessarily lovers of them, but in a stripped-down style, that's what this tastes like. You know, you have some that are a little more luxe, I would call luxe, jazzy, luxe, richer. Those are your Justins. Justin is a more luxe version. But this is a little bit like that M by Billy Mac. This reminds me a lot of that wine. Mm. I mean, I think this might actually be a little better than that one. But still, it reminds me of that wine. You know?
I think the oak is treated better here.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's just a little more interesting.
What was the number on this again? Low 20s?
1999 right now.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's good wine for 1999.
It is.
And... It fits in with the price point. It's what you want. Good value for your money. I can say wholeheartedly right now, I would buy this again. I would buy this. I would for $20.
Hell yeah.
Sell this on a restaurant? Yeah, absolutely.
If you sell this at a restaurant for $45, oh my gosh, this would be a very good buy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With whatever steak you're having. Who cares what you're having with it?
Yeah, that would be fine.
You're out to eat, this would be fantastic.
I've drank a lot worse. And enjoyed them.
No.
Good. It's just one of those wines that, once again, they make solid wine. They just make solid wine.
If you walk in your average midpoint restaurant chain and walked in with this bottle of wine and compared it to what 10 of those restaurants had.
Oh, no, yeah.
I'll bet. This would be the best bottle of wine they offer.
Yes, it would be.
8 or 9 out of those 10.
Yes. Wouldn't smell the best, but yes, it would taste
the
best.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
But it's like, this is one of those wines, it's like, why don't people serve this out? It's not spectacular, but for the price point, and they make a lot of this, I would assume. I get that it's a brand new offering, but if I was Rayburn, I'd be pushing this.
Well, it's in Kroger's now, so I'm assuming wherever you are. If you have a Kroger's, like a Harris Teeter or something like that.
You did the classic faux pas. It's Kroger.
Crozet.
I'm one who adds the S to it, too.
I don't give a fuck. Anyway, if you're in one of those places, you're going to see it, probably. They've added that and those gas. We haven't actually released that episode yet, but maybe we will. That ghastly Bordeaux by the Chevrier or whatever. That thing was brutal. That was horrible. But Rayburn's also there. About the same money.
Who is out west there? Kroger's buying up. They're in the Vegas market. Something Sins. Grocery.
We had a winery not too long ago that had all their the grocery stores that you could buy it in. What the hell was that called? It was another one.
That's a common feature.
Oh, it was that. It was that Bordeaux, where they sell that stuff, or where you could find it. It was like you know, Joe Bob's.
Albertsons.
Oh, is that something that's familiar to you? Albertsons.
Yeah, they're out west.
Okay, good. Good.
They're out west. If you go to the grocery store in Vegas, it's possible it's an Albertsons.
Albertsons.
I think they're in the California markets too.
I mean, California, you can just probably find it, but it's a solid wine. Have you ever had Avalon? Here's my question.
That's what Princess had open last night.
I saw that. I didn't touch it, but yeah, I saw it.
It's fine. I discourage her from getting Lodi, but...
Oh, is that where it's from?
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that they have different spots where you can... Let's just take a look at Avalon. I've never drank it. No, lie. I have drank it. I hated it, but that's okay. Because they... It's not just... Because they have even Napa... They have a Napa Avalon. Don't you want that? Do you want Napa Avalon, Scott?
Why not?
Okay, I think we know why not is never a good answer, you know, because there's always, you drink it, you know why not. The always the question, though, is someone else paying?
Well,
I'm looking at the tasting notes of the Avalon currently. It's slowly coming up. WordPress, by the way. WordPress is what they use for their sites.
Not a good sign. Wait, don't
we use WordPress?
Wait, not a good sign.
By the way, you should check out our website, thewinevault.org.
Oh, very good. You can remember it.
Yes, I can. It's 82% Cabernet, 17% Merlot, and 1% Petite Syrah. Mm-hmm. 12 months French and American oak. I bet it's more American than French. And 14.5% alcohol. MSRP, $20. For Napa, my recommendation, don't buy that.
Hey, why not? We need to do it on the show if we can get our hands on it.
Well, get your hands on it and buy it. And bring
get
it.
Your hands to yourself.
Sometimes. I don't want touching that shit. I like this.
I like this.
Oh, by the way, the AVAs, I just noticed this, the AVAs from which this is drawn, 60% Alexander Valley, 21% Dry Creek. Wait a second. 9.5% Lodi, 9.5% Monterey. They're stretching that Sonoma County a little bit. It's 20% someplace, 19% someplace else.
You're not allowed to be offended by that. Joe Wagner doesn't.
Folks, this is my thing. Okay, you can say varietal specific for 75 or more. I don't get down with that for AVAs. I don't do that. I don't agree with that. If you're going to be, if you're going to say Sonoma County, well, you should have 100% Sonoma County, which
is
me.
Is Sonoma County technically an AVA, sir?
Yes. And by the way, neither Monterey or Lodi are in Sonoma County, even if
they're
you're
not.
So they have nothing to do. Monterey is so damn far away, it doesn't even make a difference.
Sonoma County is not an AVA. It hosts AVAs. It's not a recognized
AVA,
sir. Whatever. So they can use some liberties, because this is America. This is America.
That's stupid.
Now, could they say it's Oregon, as a certain maker did with an Oregon product that was bottled in California? But sourced from Oregon?
Wait a minute, though. Let's go back to this, though.
Let's go back to it.
Let's just say that this is then, we're rejecting the Sonoma County bullshit.
Well, you are.
But we're saying that this is California designate. We've always been in search of a decent California designate.
It's not their labeling.
I don't give a shit what their labeling is. In reality, it's California designate.
Well, I just wonder how many other county designates are sourced from outside the county as this one is. Granted, it's less than 20%, right? Was that, what were those numbers again, sir?
19%. 9.5 plus 9.5 is 19, is it not?
I think so. You're getting better with the math. That Hooked on Phonics and whatever the math app side-by-side that you got thrown in for free is working.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know whether I've heartburn or that or not over them stretching the boundary to include 19% from outside Sonoma County. Yeah, probably should be labeled California, shouldn't it? Let's see.
Hey, Scott. What did one of the prostitutes' knees say to the other?
What? I need you?
No, no. How come we spend so little time together? Hey, Scott, what do a bungee jump and a hooker have in common?
What do a bungee jump and a hooker have in common?
They're both cheap, fast, and if the rubber breaks, you're pretty much screwed. I'm not going to say the next one because it is homophobic. I would, yes, oh. Hey, Scott, why did the snowman suddenly smile?
Why did the snowman suddenly smile?
He could see the snowblower coming. That's not funny.
Oh, Lord.
I know. Scott, when is it okay to beat up a dwarf?
When is it okay to beat up a dwarf?
When he's standing next to your woman or girlfriend saying that her hair smells nice.
Oh, Lord.
I know. You kick his ass then, so. Yeah.
So it's Sonoma County wine conjunctive labeling. First inclusion of Sonoma County in the label of all Sonoma County wines along with any AVA designation. All wine produced from the Sonoma County AVA must also include Sonoma County in the label. Wineries have creative flexibility on the fund size location of Sonoma County within design. The law, it's actually Assembly Bill 1978. The law officially went into effect January 1, 2011. There's a 3-year phase-in period. But actually, so the label has to be submitted for TTB. I don't know what that acronym means. It's some type of product placement enforcement. Laws enforced by the ABC. Okay. Interesting. But you know what it doesn't say?
What?
Where it has to be from. It doesn't say it has to be from Sonoma County.
Well, that's stupid. But it's still a nice wine.
Well, it's just interesting.
But it's a mutt. It's a mutt.
Decoding a wine label. Let's just see what they say here. This is SonomaCountyWine.com, by the way. TTB is the Alcohol, Tobacco, Trade and Tax and Trade Bureau, California agency. Mandates and requirements for wineries. Probably involves legal authorization. It means you can purchase Sonoma County wines with confidence, knowing you have an exceptional quality wine in the bottle. What they don't say is that it means that it's all Sonoma County wine.
Well, you know.
To call a name must be 75% of the volume. Geographic name. If a wine label states a specific appellation, which that's not this. Appellation means an AVA, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever designation a winemaker chooses, the vast majority of grapes must be grown in that place. So it doesn't say what you have to do to put Sonoma County on there. It does say all wine produced entirely of wine from within the county of Sonoma has to have Sonoma County on it.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say that you can't put Sonoma County on it if it's not all produced there. I want to say loophole. I want to say they're pulling the blinds over our eyes. They're pulling the wool over our eyes. It's tricky, tricky, Rayburn. But do you give them a shame on you, Rob Dern?
I would give them, if it were bad, I would give them a shame on you.
But so because it's good, it's okay to pass this off as all Sonoma County when it's not.
Yes, that's normally how it works. If something is good, then you give
it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I think it's of integrity.
Yeah,
I think it's either okay or it's not, sir.
Integrity is so you know, gone in today's society.
What apparently in this room. I mean, with one of us at least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You can shame on somebody all you want.
I'm not shaming. It's just this is a California designate. It gets back to your original position. We found a good California designation wine. Oops, they didn't label it right. It's not Sonoma County, folks. This is a California designate. Well, I give them a shame on you, Rayburn.
Well, at least we can stop looking for a decent California designation.
Okay. Yeah, except they're selling it as Sonoma.
That's true, but
no
we know.
Wonder it's not the classic Sonoma profile.
That's true, because it's got Monterey and Lodi on it. That's
no
a big
wonder.
Reason. I know. We'll still drink it, though.
I'm drinking it.
I'll drink it.
I'm still poo-pooing them.
I know.
Poo-poo on you, Rayburn.
Never.
You know, I'm going to be the voice of reason here, and I'm going to pull a triple B. They're going to lose a point off my score because of that.
Wow. You're so cool.
I am losing.
I'm so impressed by you, Scott. You're a hard ass. Oh,
well,
yeah.
Triple B would be proud of me.
You're like that sheriff in Arizona that
no,
has the prison
easy.
Camps. That's what you are.
Easy.
You're just a hard ass.
He's out.
No, well, yes, yeah, so are you.
Nevertheless.
Yeah. In the same way, by the way, folks.
Don't tell Carrie Lake.
Well, we're going to take a break, but then we'll be right back here on the Wine Bowl. On tonight's potpourri, last night, Scott and I had a bottle of Kirkland's Chateauneuf du Pape, their new release. And that brought, first of all, we're going to talk a little bit about that. But then I thought, what do sommeliers say are the best Kirkland wines out there? Well, I Googled that and I yielded a website hit. So we're going to go through their list. Some of these wines we've had, some of these wines we have but haven't had, and some of these wines are just stupid because you can't find them. But that's okay. But first, for the Chateauneuf du Pape, came in around $18.99. I forget the producer. It wasn't one of note. But $18.99 is ridiculously cheap for a Chateauneuf. It's primarily Grenache. It was like 70% Grenache.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And it wasn't one where it had like 18 different varietals. It had like four or five. And we both said, good fruit. Too much fruit, somewhat heavy, somewhat jammy, somewhat decadent for a Chateauneuf. Now, mind you, even for any kind of Chateauneuf, I've never drank one that was like at release, but I know they don't taste like that.
And it's a sign that they don't really, it's a 2021, folks. Chateauneufs are going to be held for some period of time before you can put your hands on them.
Mm-hmm. This one, though, tasted like a very enjoyable Côte d'Or. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. I thought it was... I think you could make a comparison point to the Spanish-style Grenache, too, a softer Spanish-style Grenache. But what it didn't have was that Grenache burliness. Even in the French style, it was softer than it should be.
And there wasn't any real particular complexity, something that Chateauneuf should be having in spades.
Yes, 100%. Easily to drink, though. Just easily, mm-hmm. easily went down. Smooth.
Mm-hmm.
Felt like it, what you said, at least put it back a year, but it's like you're not putting this back for 4 or 5.
No.
It just didn't have that, but I liked it. Didn't love it. Neither of us, it didn't knock our socks off, either of them. It's like, would you rather have that or, you know, going down the list of other Kirklands that we think highly of, would you rather have that or the Gigondas?
Gigondas.
And the Gigondas is a little pricier?
No, it's $14.99.
Mm.
No, if I sell the Gigondas, I'm buying 6-8 bottles. In the same
it just was so nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, 70% Grenache, 10% Cinsault, 10% Mourvèdre, 10% Syrah. So.
Yeah, and it's just kind of sort of weird how it's 70, 10, 10. That's just...
Mm-hmm.
French-produced wines, they're not that symmetrical.
So the list, folks, and this can be found on financebuzz.com. Yes, very interesting.
That's a credible wine source, by the way.
Hey, whatever. They have pictures. Number,
do they?
Yes, number 15, Scott.
Pictures.
The 2022 Kirkland, and I think this is of all time, by the way, the Kirkland Signature K Vine Rosé. So K is by Charles Smith.
Okay.
K Vineyards. So the K Vineyards has different things. They have a Cabernet that I've never tried, and then this. It comes in at, I think, probably $12-$13. Got a 90 from these people, and they wrote, it has well-balanced bouquet characterized by the sweet scents of cherry, melon, and strawberry. They really like that one. But then 14, Scott. 14
the
is
Buckshot Vineyard.
Yeah, that's is the Kirkland Signature Côte de Provence Rosé.
Okay.
Two rosés. This one's French.
Allegedly.
Frenchy. Next. And I've heard this one mentioned before. The 2022 Kirkland Signature T-Point Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc. I've not seen it for sale. But from what I understand, it's supposed to be something that tastes like KJ,
Kim Crawford.
Yeah, might as well be the same thing. But it's not as good as Kim Crawford. They still gave it 90 of their points. Then they have, and this would be an interesting one to buy.
That was exactly what I was thinking. Interesting.
The Kirkland Signature Series Premier Cru Chablis.
Yep.
French of Burgundy.
Why not?
Chardonnay. And that would be something that would be fun to drink. But they got 90 of their points as well. The next, this one's one we just talked about. The Kirkland Signature Chateauneuf du Pape got a 90. And they said this wine has peppery character that lingers towards the finish with nice acidity and a dry finish. Overall, sipping, it is an impressive experience.
I wouldn't say it was an impressive
experience.
Well, that's fine. I'm fine with that descriptor. It's interesting that the 2020 had the same makeup, 70, 10, 10, 10.
Mm-hmm.
Pleasing vermilion color. Interesting phrasing. Accompanied by an earthy aroma. Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit earthy. Dark fruit like blackberries and blueberries dominate the flavor profile. A pretty apt descriptor, I think, there.
Well, number 10 is a boo-boo. And we've had this one on the show, folks.
It was a boo-boo.
The Kirkland, this is the 19, though. We had the 20. The Kirkland Signature Oakville Cabernet Sauvignon. They gave it 91 of their points. It's made by everyone's favorite winemaker, Allison Crowe.
Hi, this is Allison. I make wine with acidity in it. I love acidic things. You know what I like to do, Scott?
What do you like to do?
Read dirty jokes, but also, I like to drink battery acid.
That's why you make wines in the style you do, Allison.
Then I taste the wines I make, and they're delicious. Have you had my Alexander Valley Cabernet? Oh, I'm sorry. I was drinking things out of a Duracell.
So next, 19. I don't know if Allison makes this one, but it got 92 of their points, and it's the Kirkland Signature Rutherford Cabernet Sauvignon.
If it's just as good as the Oakville, that sounds like a pleasure.
Yes. Then we're moving on to wines I've never seen anywhere, but I would love to see them.
Ooh.
The 19 Kirkland Signature Saint-Julien Bordeaux.
Saint-Julien, yes.
91
please,
of their points. I would love that. Another one. I do have the next one. And it's the 17, it's a number 7 Kirkland Signature Sous Cole Napa Cabernet. I do have a bottle of that.
S-U-S-C-O-L Vineyard.
Sous Cole is a vineyard where cake bread comes out of.
Okay.
Their reds. There's one other one, but I can't recall what it was off of.
You love
it. Oh, Sous Cole also, I believe, basically it's just the cake bread. So if you like cake bread, that's one you might want to try. If you like cake bread also, don't talk to me. Next is one I don't want. It's the 18 Kirkland Signature Willamette Pinot Noir. Got 90 of the points. It's just because it's cheap. It's probably like $12. I don't trust Pinot Noir from Kirkland Signature because the next one also is the... It's the same one. Apparently, there's not a very good editor at this website because the 18 Kirkland Signature Willamette Valley Pinot Noir is number 6. And it is number 5. So it's 5th and 6th. But the 4th one is the 17 Kirkland Signature Barolo. Got 93 of their points.
Ooh.
James Sucklingville gave it 91.
Ooh.
The dreaded 91. Yes, I drank their Barolo, and I felt it was not good. But I gave it 91 of my points, which is an exceptional score.
Laird and Alta have vineyards in Suskell that have wines produced in the Suskell Mountain Vineyards.
Who?
Laird Family Estate and no. Alta.
Oh, Laird. Okay. Yeah. The next one, and by the way, these wines, when we're saying these things, they're not $50.
No.
Like this Barolo is going to be in the 20s. That Bordeaux earlier is going to be in the 20s. The next one I know is in the 20s, and it's their 16 Kirkland Signature Series Brunello de Montesino.
Montesino.
Any of their points, and yeah, it's going to be around $22, $23 if you can find it. Then the next one is the Kirkland Signature Ribera del Duero. Got 92 of their points. That'd be a nice, good old-fashioned Tempranillo. Never seen that one. And then the
article quotes it as a 2015, but shows a picture of the 2014.
I know.
Interesting.
The last one would be one that I would love to find. It's the Kirkland Signature Series Pouillac from 2015. I don't think these are made every year because you'd have to find a producer that makes it that would want to sell it.
And these are historical, you know, some going back to 14, 17. So it's over a series of years. I think they're going back all time to their all time faves.
That's my all time fave, Rob. Well, the ones that they missed are like the Reserva Chianti. It's very nice. It's made by Via Cafaggio, by the way. Their Rioja is a good one. It's a Reserva. It's good. Then the Gigondas, as we said before, is wonderful. Mm. And the Bordeaux Superior.
We for the money, we really like that. I think I would enjoy trying a Willamette Pinot from them. The Barolo, yes. Be interesting to see who is making that Willamette Valley.
Be scary to know.
If it's your friend.
Hi, this is Allison.
But I think she just does her Cali stuff.
Oh, no.
Plus she was assigned her tasks more recently.
No. Scott, you know what I love to do? I will get a glass of ice water, and then I will dump a cup, not just a little, a whole cup of Epsom salts in that water, and then I will drink it. It keeps my skin nice and tight and vibrant and an odd shade of yellow. It's lovely. And then I drink wine. Yes, it bubbles up. Do you know that iron out liquid that you can, or iron out solution that you can clean things with?
Yes.
That also is a good substitute but not a whole cup. That would be excessive.
Allison, your pipes are cleaned pretty regularly, aren't
they? Oh, yes. I'm very clean on the inside,
you
yes.
It goes right through you.
I have absolutely no intestines anymore.
Something in your mouth and you're shitting it straight out.
It just goes straight through, yes. It's a hole from my throat. My throat goes all the way down. It's just it's a tube and then just drops right out. I don't consume anything. No, no, no. It's lovely.
Is it lovely?
It is, Scott. Do you know also what's lovely? It's, you know, when the holidays come, folks, and you're thinking about a sparkler or something that's bubbly, try...
character. Stay in character.
Try hydrogen peroxide. It's so fizzy and bubbly. I love it. You know what's even better than hydrogen peroxide? If you mix it with baking soda. Oh... Some people say if you then put steel wool in that and put it in a microwave, you can blow it up. It's lovely if it's inside your body.
Yeah. Is there a big enough microwave for you to climb into?
You're safer drinking that than you are my Alexander Valley Cabernet.
It really was bad.
Yes, it was. Hey, as a matter of fact, Triple B... She lost her throat because of it. That's why she's not on the show anymore. She has no more trachea. Just ate it away. Actually, no. I think that was in the mini bottles. She's still mad at me about that. It's like as if I did something to her.
Well, we're still plotting our revenge.
I'm sure you are. You're probably... Yes. She'll come down. And she's not on tonight, by the way, folks, because she wasn't going to be. But she's off being a gypsy at the campsite like she has been before with my children. Well, two of my children. They're all gypsies. She's like,
will you spend the night at the camp with us?
It's like, no.
Why?
Because bugs crawl across the floor on the wooden floor in the cabin that you're in. No.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, it is. There's bugs and shit. I saw them. They're like bugs.
Ow. Oh, it's a church camp. Of course, there's going to be some creatures in the...
I don't worship all creatures big and small, man. I ain't playing that, you know. It's not going to happen. No.
Hey, Scott. What did the O say to the Q?
See you later?
No. Dude, your dick's hanging out. You got the Q with the little... Yeah. Oh, my God. Hey, Scott. What do you call a herd of cows that are masturbating? I think I've told this joke before.
Good.
Beef stroganoff. Yes.
Which are fifth graders' jokes, Wilfred.
Hey, Scott. What do you call a guy with a small dick?
Rob.
No. I was going to say Scott. Fuck you. Hey, Scott. What type of bird gives the best head?
Rob.
No. Okay, no. A swallow.
Oh, there's an original. These are fifth grade. Those are third grader jokes.
Hey, like, Scott, how did Burger King get Dairy Queen pregnant?
Oh, Lord.
He forgot to wrap his Whopper. Yeah, that's great.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, folks, we're going to take a break. But we'll be right back here on the Wine Vault. And we're back, folks. So the 2021 Rayburn Cabernet Sauvignon from California. It's not Sonoma County. But, you know, whatever.
Well, it's almost all in Sonoma County.
That's true.
You know what's in Sonoma County, Scott?
Not Lodi.
Red Roof Inn. Did you know that? They have one.
I'm sure they do.
I know. I know. I met a 28-year-old there.
Lord, how many of them?
No, it was a dude named Jacques, and he was 28 years old. Are you still fixated on that pervert pedophile joke? I'm past that.
Are you now?
And no, I won't go to Thailand with you. No.
You know, Sonoma County has a Hometown Studios by Red Roof. I don't know about Hometown Studios. What do you know about Hometown Studios by Red Roof Inn?
You can rent it by the hour. I know that. Yeah, yeah.
If you look up Red Roof Inn on your laptop, you will be put on a list, I'm sure. There's no good reason to look up that.
There's a Red Roof Inn location near Roanoke Park, California.
Is this man a trucker?
The Farmhouse Inn in Sonoma County. Santa Rosa, California, Fairfield, California, Dixon, California, Vallejo,
Scott,
California.
Red Roof Inns are so bad, they don't even shoot porn movies in them. So that just tells you right there. Well, snuff films probably, but. You know,
easy.
I mean, I'm just saying. It's not a high quality. When I've never stayed in a Red Roof Inn all 37 years of my life.
It's just they're old now.
They were old always. No. You never. They're always in the nastiest spots.
Not true.
Well, what one did
they
you
are
stay in
now?
Oh my God!
They were all over Columbus, and they were in suburbs, and they were usually right off the highway in good neighborhoods per se.
Then they were closed down because they were decided to be a menace. And,
well, Red Roof Inn had open policies on people having parties in them, so they became known as that place, and. Is what it is. Now those same locations are not quite as nice.
No, they're not. No, they're not.
What are you going to do?
I know. But this wine, Scott, what is your numerical score?
First of all, let's talk about it a little more.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. We like it. Plush mouthfeel. Medium to heavier to medium body, but it feels denser than it really is because of the mouthfeel. Savory fruit. A nice finish. It's not particularly lengthy, but that plum, it kind of lasts all the way through the wine. And normally you'd sound like, do I want to have plum on the finish? And, you know, that doesn't sound like it's a good characteristic, but it works for this wine.
Yeah.
But that being said, I'm at a... 87, but it loses a point.
Oh my
god. Because
of
the Sonoma County designation, and it now gets 86 of my points.
Okay.
And in tribute to the Triple B.
God. And now on to me. This wine has excellent fruit. Really, it does. It's well balanced, and the oak is quite nice. The issues with it are just us not liking the fact that they say Sonoma County, but it's a bit of a mutt. I'm not okay with that, quite frankly, Rayburn. You should say California. I understand that then you lose some prestige, but guess what? Then don't fucking put Monterey and fucking Lodi in it.
No shit.
Charge your $26. Don't do that then. You know, there's other parts of Sonoma that you could put it through, but don't say that. Don't do it. We don't like it. We do not approve of that. It does violate the Olympic scale. But with that, though, it is a well-crafted wine. They did bring in the wine, the grapes. They blunt them well. They oaked them well. They produced a good wine, just like everything else. It makes me want to look, though, back at
some of the other options that you see that are county designated. Mm-hmm. Are they really? But many producers don't tell you where they're sourcing. You assume they're all in Sonoma County, but you assume... They're all in Alexander Valley, but...
Mm-hmm. This wine gets 88 of my points. The fruit, the balance. I mean, I actually think that could be a little bit low, but in reality, I think as a mosaic, it's an 88-point wine. It's not particularly ageable. I think that it's drinking just fine now. It's 2021. You could hold it 1 or 2 years, but there's no real reason to beyond that. It's in grocery stores. It's not like it's collectible in any regard. And it doesn't have one element other than maybe the oak, which I think is unique, but not one element that is wildly exciting. You know what I mean? it's really, really competent all the way through. And quite frankly, I would buy this just like I would buy their Pinot, but I might buy their Pinot before I'd buy this.
Yep, I would too.
But I would buy both. And I would definitely buy their Chardonnay because I know the Chardonnay is lovely. All three, as a grouping, we get a tip of the cap for quality.
Yeah.
And consistency.
It just of the quality of the product.
Yeah.
And high level of drinkability.
Yeah, they're just competently made. Okay, you did pull across different parts of California. Okay, you did that. But then again, you also pulled it together as a cohesive unit that tastes good, that is nice, where everybody else that does that. I mean, look, we had, Franciscan. I don't think we released that episode, but that wine's a fucking nightmare. Their Cabernet now, which is Monterey mostly, is disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is disgusting. Oh, man, I think we had technical problems that night where it didn't even fucking record. But that wine is disgustingly bad. This one could do that, too. They could make a shitty wine, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
They made a really, really classic wine. I would like them, though. I would like them with their winemaking ability that they have. To make something about $35 that's all Alexander Valley, I want to see what they do. Because they have good taste and good winemaking ability. Make something that's more premium that's all Alexander
Valley. Just make it all Sonoma County. Take the Lodi and the Monterey out of it.
I know, but say you had this one at 19, but then at 30 or 35, you did 100% Alexander Valley. I would taste that.
But don't you feel like it's like it should be called almost Sonoma County or like Sonoma County, wink, wink, nudge, nudge?
Well, I mean, there's so many wineries, though, that are like that anymore. I don't even think Ferrari Carano. I don't think Ferrari Carano is 100% Alexander Valley anymore. Everything is being diluted in that regard. It's not like it's just them. I mean, they're not the only offenders. Because originally, like Franciscan, they were a Napa producer. Their cab was Napa. Then suddenly it was Napa with a little bit of Monterey. Then it was Monterey with a little bit of Napa. Then it was just Monterey, or then California, yeah. I think is what it is now.
How dare they?
So I don't think, though, the current Cabernet by Ferrari Carano is Alexander Valley. I'm just going to take a look here. See if I can. They might not even have it in stock.
We had
they don't have
Ferrari Carano Merlot the other night, and it was fantastic again.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the current vintage is, 20 maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's 21. It was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It's
it still gets good scores.
They just do a hell of a job there.
Mm-hmm. But it's not that unusual. But this wine, though, 88 all day long. You know, you're 86 too low, Scott.
Yeah, even well, you knock out your point. They get a penalty point. They don't deserve 87.
That's just
they certainly deserve an 88.
Being silly.
No, I think. It's good. It's not 88 good.
It's 88 good. That's what 88 is.
Mm.
I mean, the flavor profile isn't necessarily what I really love. I love black. I love dark fruits. But forgetting that, really, the wine becomes more acceptable in its score when you realize it's not Sonoma County because it is lacking a little bit of the natural Sonoma County elements because of the 20% or 19%.
Yeah.
That isn't that. So when you consider what it really is, then you're like, oh, okay. So it doesn't really. So when you say, does it taste like the AVA? Okay, sure it does because it's a bit of a mutt. So if you're great, if you are judging it on it being a Sonoma cab, then you would say it's not quite really what you would expect with that AVA. But that isn't what it is. So
if there was a Sonoma County AVA, but there isn't.
Whatever, you know what I mean. Still,
well,
you know. So considering that, you're like, okay, well then. When you consider what it really is, you go, well, it's pretty solid then.
I think, honestly, the...
And you judge it a little bit differently, given what its flavor profile is, because it can't necessarily be as defined as what you would like it to be.
I wouldn't mind the Lodi, Monterey contributions if they didn't call it Sonoma County. One.
Oh, sure.
Two, you know what I think this wine could use a little of that would actually get it to 88 points? Just a touch of acidity. And this wine would be really good then. I just think this
what it needs,
profile would Scott, a touch of acidity would bring it up the charts.
What it needs is Merlot.
Well,
it's got the wrong varietals backing it up. So if you had 81% Cabernet and then 14% Merlot and a little bit of Petit Verdot, you're going to get a little bit better integration of the fruit.
Listen to us. We're designing a wine here. And you could keep the Sonoma County label. You replace the 9.5 with 19% Merlot from Sonoma County.
Well, there you go. You probably, you know what? There's an argument to be made. Your Cabernet is coming from Sonoma, and then the rest of the stuff is the Cabbage Patch shit. That would make sense.
So add that 19% Merlot from Sonoma, and you really are still Sonoma.
Yeah.
It's not almost Sonoma. It's not Sonoma-ish. Sonoma light.
And maybe they'll change that up.
Just because we said so.
Well, that and the vintages to go ahead. But yeah. I think the Merlot introduction, if you got the right sourced Merlot, it would really round this out. And it would make it taste more like
Sonoma County.
Sonoma County, but also things like, you know, Gunlock Bunchu and things like that. Because those are more traditional Bordeaux style. I mean, yes, Petit Verdot is, but that's a pretty high allotment of Petit Verdot in there, all things considered. And then Syrah, okay, whatever. So mix some more traditional Merlot, maybe a splash of Petit Verdot, and call it a day. And I think you might have even a better product than what this is.
But you know, the truth is, wine guy, most people aren't going to give a shit about what we're talking about here. This is approachable to the masses. I think you're a casual red wine drinker.
Like this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, you like 19 Crimes. This is shit tons better than 19 Crimes. But it's a similar fruit profile. Do you know what I'm saying there?
It has a similar fruit profile to Prisoner.
It really does.
If you like Prisoner, folks, try this wine. It's not Zen, but then again, what's Prisoner? This wine tastes a little bit like Prisoner did.
I agree. But we were just talking about Prisoner last night.
$20. I just had Prisoner. It cost $20, not 50 or 60. It tastes an awful lot like that, actually. But then again, Prisoner tastes like a Paso Cab, even though it's not.
It's interesting that you blend Sonoma County 80% with part from Lodi, 9.5 Lodi, 9.5 Monterey, and you get Paso without the chocolate. That's a weird little thing.
I mean, it's like, how do you make the color brown?
How do you do that?
They just mix a bunch of shit together, and there you go, you know?
I still don't approve of
this. I don't
think
that that's what they were aiming for, but still. Whatever.
It's weird. I would buy this in the future. I would recommend this. I think our listeners, again, if you like that Paso style, if you love, you know.
If you like Paso style that's not from Paso.
You'll love this. I think I think people will really, really like this. It's not great. I think Rob's 88 is a little high.
88 isn't great. 88 is good. 90 is great. 89 is even great, but it's not great.
However, as much as I disapprove of their marketing of this as Sonoma County, I like this wine.
You know, though, that being said, if you do want Paso and you want to spend a little bit more, Justin and Dow are both better. That's okay.
Yeah,
Justin's
price, you're right. Justin's
28.
Yeah,
and so's Dow, but they're both better. But that's okay. They're both a lot better, actually. Justin is really good, and the Dow is really, really good.
I think so. Justin has that.
It's jazzy.
They do what they do. They have that prune chocolate prum
whatever that is
plum thing. Really going, they know what they're doing, they know who they are, they make the same thing year in, year out. I think sometimes it can be a little bigger than other years.
In the good years, you can be in one of the best steakhouses in the world.
And see Justin.
And Justin does just fine with everything it's paired with. Because really I just does. Did it with Hyde, at Hyde Park, we just had
it's a great steakhouse wine.
Yeah, oh yeah, and it, you know what's better than? Jordan.
Oh, easy.
It is.
You're talking for the money. Stop.
No, I'm talking period.
Well,
quite frankly, Scott, this is not a whole lot different than Jordan. I want to see Jordan's bona fides. That's all. Jordan is very ordinary. It's extremely ordinary wine. So it's just $70 ordinary for whatever
they
that's
have
worth.
One bad bottle in here.
It's the 18. It's a good vintage for them. So whatever. Nevertheless, folks, an 88, an 87.
Get it. Try it.
Recommend it.
Mm-hmm.
Give it a try, folks. And once again, for Rayburn, tip of the cap.
Well, we're watching you, Rayburn. Don't falsify marketing. I don't like that.
Tip of the cap to your quality, not to your methods. How's that?
The methods are fine. It's the labeling.
That's their method.
I think it's a little less than forthcoming.
Untoured. Like Scott's secret life.
Yes, in Thailand, Scott. Scott's life in Thailand is like this label. It's shady, folks. That's what I'm saying, you know. He's like, you know, how many people can we cram on this freighter? I'm like, Scott, that's not safe. You can't put people in cargo holds. And you said, bullshit, I can. Shut up. He's a snakehead, I think is what they call him.
I don't like cargo holds. I prefer rear naked chokes.
Oh, my gosh. That's how the undesirable people that he brings in. That's what he kills them with.
And then, like Randy Couture, dirty boxing in the corner.
Randy Couture, but he kills people. That's what, and throws them over the side of the boat.
A little dirty fighting
it's
in the
terrible,
corner.
Terrible,
little elbow.
That's terrible. And he charges them money.
But it's effective. No, they pay me.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm Randy Couture.
I mean, Couture.
Yeah.
Do you know how his name is pronounced? It's not Couture.
Randy Couture.
Couture. Randy doesn't like that. He'd kick your
Randy
ass.
Couture.
And guess what he doesn't do? Sell people like Scott. So anyway.
Sells a lot of t-shirts.
Yes. Anyway. For Rob the Wine Guy and Scott the Unlicensed Taxi Driver, we are going to bid you adieu. But we will see you next time here on the Wine Vault. Good night.